And you have all of these references on your sheet there. We can't look at all of them today. In Isaiah 51:1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me a destroying wind." Again, the wind brings destruction. It represents destruction, strife, difficulty. And you have a bunch of references there. There's a couple in Jeremiah chapter 4, one in Jeremiah 49, 2 Kings 19, Ezekiel 19, Hosea 13, that bring this out, that winds represent destruction and war, difficulty, strife. So in Luke, we read there where Christ told us that the stream beat vehemently or violently, intensely against the house, and the foolish builder, Jesus says, the house, it immediately fell. The stream represents a very destructive force, and it beats vehemently, violently, intensely against the house. And the house in this case refers to the individual Christian as well as the church. Both are under attack, we're told there in Revelation. Now in Hebrews 3:6, it bears that out. It says, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." So the Bible tells us that we are the house of Christ if we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing, and the hope unto the end. So again, what does Jesus say happens to the house? If it's not built on the rock, immediately it fell, he said. Now go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, and let's look at verse 17. The Bible says, "And the dragon," that's Satan, "was wroth with the woman," the church, "and went to make war with the remnant of her seed," which do what? That's right. They keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus. And Revelation 19:10 tells us that that's the spirit of prophecy. So the Bible bears out that Satan's anger, his wrath, his battling is against those that keep the commandments of God and have the spirit of prophecy. It's a very specific group. It's the remnant of her seed. And so if we're the house, and we are, Satan is going to bring a flood of deception, a violent stream of persecution, strong winds of strife, of war, of difficulty. The Bible says to beat vehemently against the remnant people of God. And those that have not built their house on the rock, the solid rock, the foundation which is Jesus and his word, they're going to fall. And so Satan is, he's not waiting to do this. He is doing this. He hasn't stopped doing this. And it's going to grow more and more intense. And so now let's consider what Jesus is talking about there in Luke when he says laying the foundation on the rock. So I'm back in Luke chapter 6. And let's look. Let's look and see what he says, because there's two groups here. He says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say?" And then he describes this group. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me," this is the contrast, "whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man who built his house on the rock, on the foundation." That's Jesus. So he tells us, he answers the question, you know, what is this? What are you talking about laying the foundation on the rock? Well, it's those that hear his sayings and do them. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the Bible, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man snatch them out of my hand." So those texts go together. He says his people, the ones that have built their faith on a solid foundation of Jesus, they hear his voice, they do those things which I say. Those are his words. Those are the wise. Those are the ones that have built their house on the rock. So Satan works, and he has always done this, to control the minds of men and women. And he does that through deception. And sometimes he uses men as his instruments. And so this bears out the importance of a sound intellectual grasp of the truth of God's word. You have to have your own understanding of truth by reading God's word, by meditating upon it, a deep searching, not a superficial, cursory, you know, reading, "Oh, I've read some scripture today." No, a studying and understanding of what the Bible says, that is so important, because Satan is using deception. And he's using deep deception. He has always mixed truth with error, and he makes it sound so good. And so we don't want to fall into his trap, so we need a sound intellectual grasp of the truths of God's word. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning in verse 1, and let me know when you're there. Dell is there. Is anyone else there? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now that word "depart," it means to apostatize. So if we read it that way, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall apostatize." They'll leave the faith, and they will give heed to seducing spirits. And that's that word "seducing," it's misleading or deceptive. So they'll give heed to misleading, deceptive spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so that's interesting. They speak lies in hypocrisy. In other words, they don't hold up a sign or a banner that says, "I'm a deceiver." They're hypocrites. They show one thing, and then what they do and say is something else. They purport to be loyal to the cause of truth while spreading lies and error and working against the cause of truth. To deceive, the Bible says, if possible, even the very elect. And many are being deceived of the elect. That is happening every day. You read their books. Their books are tainted with deceptions. And their messages deceive often, because they're being controlled by Satan, and they're mixing truth and error. You know, there's a contrast between the average person today and the description that the Bible gives of the people of God who have built on the firm foundation. 1 John 5:19 tells us that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And that's the truth. The whole world lies in wickedness. In other words, the majority of the world, as it was in Noah's day, is lying in wickedness. And we should always be on guard for deception and for the appeal that the world gives to us as Christians. You see, well, the majority of people are doing that, and you know, it doesn't seem, you know, like that's really that bad, and so we can get drawn in. We can get sucked into what the majority are doing. But as you see in Scripture, often the majority is wrong, not right. And so, as the Bible tells us that the world lies in wickedness, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We want to be on guard for deception, truth mixed with error, because there's no truth in that at all. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. How are we doing? Are you there? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days," what kind of times will come? "Perilous times will come." And that word in the Greek, it means fierce and difficult. And it says, "This know also," in other words, understand this. That's what he's saying. Understand this, that in the last days, difficult, fierce times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So if you go down to verse 12, he goes on and says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So this is all part of this flood, this stream, and the wind. It's a progressive moral depravity, an increase in immorality and corruption. Sin of every kind will increase. Do you see that in the world, or do you believe, like so many, that the world is just going to get better and better? Things are going to get better. People are going to be more moral. They're going to do better. No, things are getting worse, and the Bible bears that out. In the last days, it's evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. They'll grow worse and worse. Sin of every kind is on the increase, and it will continue. So the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write those words. That's exactly what's happening. Exactly what's happening. Go to 2 Peter. And we're going to begin at verse 3, 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Are you there? Say amen. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." So not only is there a progression of evil, an increase in the advancement of evil and moral depravity, increase in sin, but there's also going to be scoffers going through life partaking of their every desire, every lustful desire, denying themselves nothing while denying the imminent return of Jesus. At the same time, saying he's not coming. You know, things have just keep going on. It's been, 2,000 years? You know, Jesus is not coming. Things just, they're the same as they've always been. And, you know, some will do that with actual words. And I've heard reports of that. You know, people saying, yeah, you know, I went into this church somewhere and the pastor said, oh, Jesus isn't coming for 100 years or more. And so there's people that are actually saying these things, but more so people deny the imminent return of Jesus by their actions, by how they're living their lives. And it's true. It's amazing. If we live our lives like things are going to go on forever, we're denying the imminent return of Jesus. But if we are drawing closer to him and being more loyal to him and desiring for his will to be done, not our will, letting him control rather than we controlling things, doing the things that please God, going about his work, about our Father's business, then we're saying, boy, Jesus is coming soon. But if we're just carrying on like everything is fine and like we have always done, then in that sense, we are in a way denying the imminent return of Jesus, not preparing for his soon return because we don't think he's coming soon. And so according to Peter, there will be those that are willfully ignorant. They will deny the creation account that God is creator, that he has the power to speak things into existence. And that's been the case for a very long time. Our public schools are teaching that. And some religious schools teach that as well. Or a combination of God being involved and then evolution. And so that continues today. And you know, commonly, people will not tolerate the Word of God. Certain parts of it, you know, it's like a buffet. They'll pick and choose the things. I met with some people to do Bible study this past week, practicing Wiccans. And they, you know, I asked them, you know, what I was told was that we're not religious, we're spiritual. And so I always try to ask people to define those things. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you know, we take the things we like from the different teachings out there. And so people don't tolerate God's word in its entirety or the instruction given there. The reason being oftentimes because it condemns their lifestyle. They're stubborn will, and they don't want to embrace those things. And so they won't tolerate God's will. And you look at the life of Jesus and you see that was the case in his day. That they wouldn't tolerate him or the things that he said. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And this sort of thing is increasing. It's another sign that time is short, that Jesus is coming soon. Multitudes of Christians believe that Christianity and morality will increase, and that we can do something and be successful if we would just unite, and then we can change the world, and everyone will be moral and become more and more like Jesus, and nearly all people will be saved. Now, praise the Lord, there will be a remnant that will become more and more like Jesus. And by his grace, that will happen to all of us. But as a whole, this is not going to happen, no matter how united so-called Christianity becomes. And there's that ecumenical movement that will stop at nothing to have so-called unity. And so, and in the name of love, they say that we must come together, and we do not want to offend anyone. And so doctrines aside, truth aside, just everyone embrace. And this is being, pushed heavily throughout the Christian world, both Protestant and otherwise. And so what does the Bible say, though? More specifically, what does Jesus say? So let's go to Luke chapter 17. Is the world going to improve and everyone nearly will be saved except for a few hard-headed individuals? What does Jesus say? Beginning in verse 26 of Luke 17. Are we there? And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And so the condition of this world is not going to improve as a whole. It's going to continue on this downhill slide to perdition. And the things of God are less and less thought of in the world for the most part. But the worldly enticements are on the increase. Cares and desires of the world, entertainment, pleasure, that's center stage. And there's nothing wrong with biblical marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking as long as we're following the Bible guidelines for those things and caring for the body temple. But the picture here is not only a matter of apostasy, which we're seeing, but that the central focus is just doing what we want to do, carrying on without any concern that the lights are about to go out. This thing is coming to an end, this thing that we call the premillennial earth and life. So going on and on with life without any concern that Jesus is coming, as what happened in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. All right, let's go to 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, we're going to begin in verse 10 as we draw to a close here. 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" That's a big question. "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So remember, when the new heaven and the new earth comes, that is not when we get righteousness. We either get Christ's righteousness by faith now, or we won't be in the new heaven and the new earth. And that's important to realize. "Be diligent," the Bible says, "that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." You know, I came across this last night. I put this sermon together a few weeks ago, but I came across this quote from Doug Batchelor. And I said, well, I think that fits here, so I want to share it with you. He said, "With God, all things are possible." And that's a biblical principle that we know, including living a life without worldly conformity and compromise. "Resolve now by his grace to stand on the rock and resist the waves of compromise that are sweeping God's children from the shores of salvation." And always remember that when you take your stand, you do not stand alone. Jesus stands with you. Ellen White said, "Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church." We wonder why there's been a delay. Spirit of Prophecy tells us that the Lord wanted to come soon after the Minneapolis Conference of 1888. But because the message of righteousness by faith was rejected by the leadership of the church, we've had a delay. And she spells it out. She says, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church, when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people. Then he will come to claim them as his own. And so by God's incredible grace, we can make it through the flood, through the stream, and through the wind that lies ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've made it clear, abundantly clear in your word and in the spirit of prophecy, what lies ahead, the battle that we're up against with Satan and those that side with him, his demons. We know that it's a spiritual battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spirits of darkness, of wickedness. And Lord, the only way that we would make it through is if we are not willing to compromise. We're going to stand firm and loyal with you as you pour out your grace upon us and you change us into your likeness so that we can manifest your character to the world, so that people can see the truth about you and make an informed decision. And so bless us to that end is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.